Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I am your host, Mark Roberti, CEO and founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And a lot of us set goals for ourselves, and while it's really fulfilling to accomplish that goal, there are some goals that we may look at and think, it's too late for us to go towards that goal. And I don't think it, like, for some people, they may think they're too old. Other people, they may think they're not at that stage of their life anymore where they could pursue that. So there are some people who they put too late on their goal as a label. So in this episode, we're going to talk about why it is never too late to accomplish any goal. And we have a great guest who is going to join us today. She hosts the Never Too Late Ever podcast and radio show, where listeners are inspired and motivated to create the kind of transformation in their lives that they dreamed of. She is a public speaker who helps attendees change their mindsets and share that age does not determine success. She believes that with a little courage, we can do anything. So today's guest for episode 344 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Lorraine Hoving.
Here I am. That's me. It is great to see you, Mark. I'm so excited.
I'm very happy to have you on the show. And I feel like this is such an essential topic because there are people who they had the dream and then they think it's too late now, but we have to realize that as long as we're breathing, we still have time. So I'm wondering if I'm wondering if we could start off, if you could share with us a little bit on when you realized it was never too late, because my understanding was it wasn't always that way.
Right. Exactly. I'm 60, almost 64 now, and I know that's hard to believe. But when I turned 60, 4 years ago, my husband had planned this wonderful boat trip with some of our friends and family. It was a total surprise to me. But when I woke up that morning, I woke up in a pool of tears because I suddenly realized, wow, two-thirds, if I lived and was blessed to live to be 90, two-thirds of my life was already over. And that is actually, as you age, Mark, that's a sobering thought to realize that you've already lived most of your life. And if you're granted and blessed with just, you know, years, you've already lived most of it. And suddenly I realized all the goals that I had set out to do, the weight that I had told my husband 42 years earlier that I would lose by Christmas, which was about probably 15 pounds back then, that by Christmas I would lose those pounds 42 years ago. Instead, I have reached my high point of 275 pounds, and I realized all of the goals that I'd set out to be more organized, to lose weight, to go after my goal of motivational speaking, all of that just kind of lay there in a heap pile of doo-doo. it was not looking good. And it was so sobering that I realized I needed to do something. I needed to change right at that moment.
Wow. And I feel like you hit on a really great point when we think about it's never too late. I don't think it's just that people, they set this goal way back when and they haven't accomplished it. But in some cases, they've reverted. So in your case, like, I want to lose pounds and then you gain pounds. So
right.
For someone who's like in that situation where they said, I want to do this and they're moving in the opposite direction, how can they recover and change their course?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because it was not only that I didn't make the goals, I actually reverted back. And that was a sobering realization at that time too. So for me, it was going back into my past. So I had some major trauma as a child, and I hadn't dealt with my self-worth, believing that I was worth losing weight, believing that I was worth everything good in life, believing that I was as good as the person next to me. I always thought there was something wrong with me, if you know what I mean. Mm. And it was partly because of the trauma that I had gone through. And so what I realized is I had to go back to the root, which I did. I even on that day, I remember getting on the computer and I thought, I've got to figure this out. Nobody's going to do this for me. I'm 100% responsible for myself. So I'm going to have to figure this out. So I went on the internet. I found some classes on personal development. I made some calls to some people that I had seen change some things in their life. And I went on a course of dealing with my past, dealing with my self-worth, and it made all the difference in the world, because right now I stand here in front of you. I know that I'm worthy. I know that everybody out there in the audience is worthy of everything good in life. And when I took 100% responsibility, didn't blame my husband, didn't blame circumstances, didn't blame the dog, when I took responsibility for me, that's when everything changed, because I was in control to find out how to believe that I was worthy.
And I mean, a lot of people, when they do hit this kind of transformation, like Lorraine, it is that hitting the I'm responsible, and not to pinpoint anyone else or any other circumstance, because when you do take the full blame, you also take full control, and that you need that kind of control that you create for yourself with this new way of thinking to make these big kinds of breakthroughs, whether it's losing weight or it's becoming a motivational speaker or anything else like that. It's all about taking that control.
Right, right. Because we have always, when we are a victim, then we are always looking outwards and saying, well, it's, you know what, I was born with these genes. It was just meant that I was supposed to be overweight. That's what I used to tell myself. I'm the only one that can never lose weight. I was destined to be fat. So we do this because we don't want to reflect inside. And as long as we do that and we make up those excuses, we will never change until we turn the tables and look inside and realize that we are the ones. Nobody else can do it for us. Nobody else can. We need to take responsibility for ourselves. And the hope is that we can. The journey can start today. So what if for 42 years, I mean, it's not a so what, but for 42 years, I did not do it. But that does not dictate what I can do today. And that is with our audience too. If you have failed 100 times over, it doesn't mean on the 101st time, that you can have success. And that's what I realized. But I had to stop blaming others, blaming my past. I dealt with my past, blaming my past, and then moving on and realizing was it hard work? Just because one day I woke up and realized I was responsible, did it come easy? No. But it made the difference in my journey, because I suddenly realized if it was to be, it was up to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great message, again, where it is up to you to accomplish all these goals for yourself and really hit on these accomplishments where you maybe thought it was too late for you, but then being able to make that full turnaround. And I know one of the things you do help people with is their mindset, because you mentioned you took the personal development courses. And I feel like personal development is so essential to achieve success in any field. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, when you're out there on a stage or just talking to someone who maybe feels like it's a little too late, what are you saying to that person or encouraging them on to so they could ignite their own mindset?
Well, first of all, I do give them the message that they are 100% responsible for themselves. And I also do let them know that if they have experienced trauma, they need to at least figure out and go back to the trauma and work that through. So for me, it was about forgiveness. I had a father that died suddenly when I was 11 years old, and he was my life. And from that point on, I had an older brother that began to bully me. And he'd say, "Fatty, fatty, 2x4 can't get through the bathroom door." And those kind of things that became a fulfilling prophecy for me. But every move I made, my brother teased. So I had to literally go back to, and I knew this is where my eating habit started. I actually began to sneak food at that time, and you are as sick as your secrets. And I began to sneak food because I knew if I ate it in front of my brother, he would tease me. So I actually had to go back there, even though I knew and had kind of dealt with it. I hadn't really, truly forgiven. I had to say to my brother, and he has now passed, but I had to say to my brother, and I actually screamed it out in a room, "You bullied me." And I said things that I hadn't wanted to admit out loud. I had to say things. I said things to my mom, like, "Why didn't you protect me?" And I hadn't wanted to say that to my mom because I love my mom. But until you admit some of the hurts that you felt as a child, because I actually felt like I was stunted at about 11 years old. I had been this happy child, and suddenly the love of my life, my daddy, died in a tragic car accident, and not in a car accident, but in a logging accident. And suddenly my brother was there just poking at me every move. And it was like the little child was taken out of me because I suddenly had to hide. And so I had to go back there and forgive him. And that forgiving was really forgiving. It was realizing that another person is acting out of some of their hurt. And that's where I began to love Albert again, because I realized he had some hurt himself. And so that's where my forgiveness became. And I can 100% say I forgive my brother. And so that was the beginning. So when I talk to other people, I realize that if they've had trauma in their life, there is part of the healing process that they need to go back there. Because when you go back and you realize and you forgive, then you begin to love yourself. And the greatest thing, Mark, is because I felt like the little girl was taken, I feel like the little girl is back. And that's the beauty of going back to your past, even though it's painful to do. So that's one thing I tell. And then if people have worked that through, then I also let them know that they are 100% responsible for themselves. They are not the victim. But if they want to make a change, they can make a change. And it is literally never too late until it is. So you have to be careful, because there is a time when it is too late. So today is the best day to begin to make the changes for your future.
One thing very important I want to point out in Lorraine's answer, I mean, you hear a lot of she's being vulnerable. She's not letting the events in that past define her, but she's using it as a way to propel herself and really tap into some of the existing roadblocks and then being able to conquer those and hit all these different goals that she's now been able to hit. So sometimes it really can be just you getting super vulnerable with yourself and going deep into a place. And yes, it may be uncomfortable. I mean, I'm sure that it's been uncomfortable for Lorraine to not just go there, but also tell people the story for a little bit. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that, because I'm sure there are, like you mentioned, that you do have to go through your past, even if you are uncomfortable with it. But how do we actually do that? Because there are a lot of people who they'd be very uncomfortable doing exactly what you just did.
Well, first of all, what I did was I found a safe place, a safe environment. And that was through a personal development class, and they did go deep. And did it hurt? Yeah, it hurt, and it was painful. But it allowed me the courage to say the things to my brother out loud that I had wanted to say. So when I say we hide, this is how I hid. For all these years, for these 40 years, I hid because I didn't really want to admit that I was mad at my mom. I didn't want to admit that I was actually mad at my dad, that he left me, that he abandoned me. And yet, if we don't admit and get down to the deep root causes, we just kind of throw it under the carpet. And we wonder why we're not getting anywhere in life. And there are times in life where we have to dig underneath where it is plain ugly. And like I said, it was not easy. It was very emotionally draining. But I know for certain I got to the bottom of all of that anger, expressed the anger, and then got to move on. Because I realized in that moment that I am worthy, just like anybody else next to me is worthy. We all are. And so for other people, I would find either a personal development course that you could go to, or a therapist, or anybody, even a good friend that would just sit there and listen. Because even a good friend can be so helpful. I have this thing where you have an object like a little foam heart, where you are given the foam heart and you can say anything that is on your mind. This is with a trusted, safe friend. And that person, as long as you have that heart, you get to express everything that you've been feeling and they listen. Then you can pass it on. And that is really have been helpful in some conversations. And even if you don't have money for like a course or anything like that, find a friend that is safe and begin to realize, because what happens is when somebody's listening to you and really listening, you become aware of how you feel instead of stuffing. Like I stuffed all those feelings with food. You can stuff it with drink, smoke, whatever, shopping, you know, many vices. But I had stuffed. And this way, if you talk to a trusted friend, you are opening. And as you open up, you realize, oh, I didn't even know that was in there because you had stuffed it. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, if you do stuff all these things down, I mean, there is a point. Now, obviously, we're talking about, you know, it's never too late to do all these different things. But one of the things we have been subtly hitting on is, yes, it is too late. So when you, you know, on that final breath, then there is a point where it is too late. And you don't want to look back at everything when you can't make any more changes and just realize all the stuff is bottled up in you. So it could really make your mind a little fuzzy as to what you want and how you pursue your goals. So it is good to have that trustworthy friend to get all that stuff out of you. Personal development, it can be a training course. It could also be a book.
Books are, yes. Books can be so helpful. Yes. I love Brené Brown's books. She speaks a lot about vulnerability and truth and courage, and Mel Robbins, two great authors that I would highly recommend.
Yeah, I mean, I try to read as many books as I can. There was one stretch where I did read 30 books in 30 days. That's something we could talk about in some – it's in a blog post somewhere on my blog. But books are certainly really important. Something else really important, though, are habits. So I'm wondering if you could share with us some of your habits that you would say are essential to your success.
Okay, so – because of my personality, so my personality is very living in the moment and everything, organization has always not come easily for me. I've had to work at it. So for a morning routine, I've had to work at it. For exercise, it just does not come naturally with me because I'm always flying here and flying there. And I love that about myself, but I also have to give myself a framework to work within to build habits that are habits that become so habitual that they're almost like a system for me. And some of that is in the morning is my meditation. Even just taking 10 minutes, that's all I take, is about 10 minutes, depending, 5 to 10 minutes I've got an app on my phone that I use, and that just centers my mind in the morning. And then I also breathe a few little prayers, and then I write in a little journal. And those things have helped me at the beginning of the day. And then throughout the day, I have habits. Of course, I've had to develop good habits of eating. And I would say I do about an 80% to 20%. 80%, I'm good all the time on my eating. And 20%, I'll once in a while have a little treat or something like that. So I believe in that 80-20 rule. It seems to work for me. It's odd. But anyways, and then also I set myself up because I knew that I've had gym memberships, like tons of gym memberships throughout the years, and not done a thing, or gone there and could hardly wait to get off the treadmill. And so I knew that I needed somebody to be accountable. So for my personality, accountability works great. So I hired a trainer, and so I work with her 3 times a week. Right now I'm taking a little time off as I just had surgery, but I work with her 3 times a week because I knew that I needed a time to be at the gym. I knew I needed her to be there at the other end. And then also with my eating, what I do is I'm part of Weight Watchers, so every week I know that I'm going to be accountable with my weight and accountable with my friends. So accountability, coaching, that has really helped me. I've had to put in place within my framework things, or else what happens, I think, and I think this happens with other people, not just with my personality, is you start to slip and you slip and you slip.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon you're back over here. But when you've got a coach, somehow you stay close to it. But when we're on our own, we tend to veer off the path pretty quick.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I've had a few coaches in the past who, you sometimes outgrow a coach based on the direction you take. But the coaches I've had throughout my journey have been pretty instrumental in getting me to stay consistent. And also, if you've been doing something for a while, like Breakthrough Success, over 300 episodes on the podcast. I mean, it's a lot harder to, you know, tip your cap on that and say I'm done versus if you have like 2 episodes on some new podcast. So once you have that momentum, it's definitely easier to build on and do more fun stuff with it.
Right. And I love what you said. The word momentum is great because sometimes when you're forming habits, it feels like a struggle. But if you continue to work at it and you start building momentum, it becomes more natural. So you wake up and you have your meditation, you wake up and it just is natural. In fact, your day feels odd if you don't do the habit that you've the newly formed habit. So momentum is wonderful when you get to momentum, and you got to keep it going because it is so easy to fall off of momentum. You know, even one day, it's really amazing, Mark, because sometimes it takes 3 or 4 weeks to develop these habits, and then you'll be going good and the momentum's good. But it takes like 3 or 4 days to fall off the wagon and steer off. So that's why it's so important to not have those 1 or 2 days where you steer off, because it sends you in the other direction.
Right. That's a really great point. I mean, it would be a shame where you develop this habit or you achieve this big goal only to lose it just because of, again, it could just be 3 or 4 bad days, and then that turns into a negative streak. So you want to be able to manage all of that and just focus on doing a little bit each day.
Right, because it's never too late. So if you do fall off the wagon, it is never too late. And the power of my message, I really believe, is that today is a new day. Every day you get up is a fresh day that you can start. So who cares about yesterday? So what? Right now, you are presented with this fresh new day. So, and maybe I only have 10 years to live, 20 years to live, but what I can do in those days, when those days, is amazing. Because if you're motivated, compassionate, and willing to sacrifice a little bit, it is amazing the purpose that you can have as you age. I know you're a young one and you have a purpose, but as you age, you start feeling this, it's a sense of urgency. And so for those out there that are listening, the days are numbered. Have a sense of urgency on your purpose. I knew when I was a very young girl that I possibly wanted to be a motivational speaker. It happened when I was with some friends. It was before the trauma in my life, and I was teaching or something in front of about 5 or 6 kids in a gym, and I knew right then that I would like to speak before and live audiences and motivate them to make a difference in their life. And then that got shunted because of all those years, the trauma and everything, and because I didn't take responsibility. But that does not discourage me, because now I feel like I have the little child back in me and that dream has come alive again. And look what I've got every single day to motivate and inspire others.
All right, and that's a really awesome message, and I think we should really cap it off there. Just 2 more questions, one of them being, I've asked you a few questions throughout our time together, but if you wanted us to all think about a question that we should be asking ourselves, what would that question be?
Good question. I think it is important to slow down the busyness of life and ask yourself, what is the purpose of your life? What do you want to leave for your children? What legacy do you want to leave? In the busyness of life and the rut of day after day doing this and the messiness of life, sometimes we forget to look inside and say, what legacy? What is my purpose? And you can discover that before it's too late. I would like to eventually help animals or children's in orphanage, and I am going to eventually get to do that. I am moving towards that. So what is your purpose in your heart? What purpose did you have that's been planted in there for years and years, and now you think, oh, it's too late, I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 50s, and you kind of put your hands up and say, well, forget it, I never did it. No, it isn't too late. So what is that purpose? What is that legacy that you want to leave the world?
Lorraine, that is a really awesome question we should be asking ourselves more often. If you guys want to stay in touch with her, I know she has a free download of her top tips for living an extraordinary life. That will be in the show notes, markaberry.com/E344. Do you want to talk about that a little bit and some of the other places we can find you?
Yes. You can find me on my website at lorrainehoving.com. And the extraordinary living 10 tips on living your extraordinary life have some to do with weight loss, but have a lot to do with our mindset. So in order to live an extraordinary life, guess where it starts? It starts here. It doesn't start out there with our circumstances, if our husband is loving, if the children are well behaved. It doesn't start out there. Where we begin to live an extraordinary life is right here in our mindset. When we set out with an attitude to change the world, to live a life of purpose, to not get triggered about every little thing that happens during the day, then that's when we begin to live an extraordinary life. Because it's not about the circumstances, because circumstances will always be change. They'll be good, they'll be bad. They just vary from day to day. But because you have a mindset of being positive, loving, kind, you will live an extraordinary life.
Lorraine, thank you so much for sharing your resource and all the great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you, Mark, and I've really enjoyed it. Nice seeing you.